A badge of honor. Police officers and first responders wear badges to let their communities know they are here to protect and serve. But that's not how it feels today. And the stress of the job is taking its toll, taking lives through suicide and post-traumatic stress injury. A Badge of Honor podcast features the cast of the same name, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno. Sam, John, and the team offer the first responders workshops through their critical incident stress management teams and mental health liaisons to offer state-certified TCOL credit programs that save lives. It's time to smash through the stigma. It's time to heal from your injury, and it's time to back our blue. Welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast. Here are your hosts, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno.
Hey, welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. We are powered by the OBBM Network, and we affiliate ourselves right here in the DFW and the Texas-based area. Man, it's been quite a week. We got we're ready to celebrate our 4th of July. Couple of words of warning with those who are suffering. We do have, you know, get yourself mentally prepared. Remember that there will be fireworks going off. There will be, you know, loud noises. So if that is something you do suffer with during these times, please make adjustments now. Let your neighbors know. Be very transparent with them. Say, you know, if you're going to be blowing stuff off, let me know in time so it doesn't shock you. You have to be proactive on this and let people know, because some people may be doing this without knowing your condition. So, you know, let's be upfront about it before something bad happens. Welcome, Sam. How are you?
Hey, it is just a rock and roll show this Monday. Things are busy gearing up for Happy Birthday, America. And yeah, like you said, and being proactive means, you know, maybe you haven't thought about it till now. It's okay. There's lots of resources, tactics, tools. You can reach out and talk to folks that have been there. And yeah, it's been a tough time, John. I know that you just want to share what's been going on.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't matter how many resources you have. It doesn't matter who surrounds you in your network. If you don't put those things into place or use them or try to reach out to them, they're just tools in a toolbox that are not being utilized. And we have to learn to make ourselves mentally aware of those resources available. You know, we don't want to be putting in a screw with a knife or a fork. We want a screwdriver. We want the proper tool. So we want to make sure that we utilize those tools. There's so many resources out there. There are so many people to speak to at any given point. And, you know, we found that out just recently when somebody who we know in our realm who knew about some resources but you know, the battle was too much. So we have to, this is when we talk about mental health and we talk about, you know, how to stay mentally healthy. People go through triggers. People go through battles each and every day, be it a first responder, a veteran, or even a civilian. We all battle financially, emotionally, relationships, everything, right? Sometimes we don't see it. We hide it with a smile, right? So we have to rely on our friends, our families, to try to say, hey, are you okay? We have to learn those hard questions to ask. You know, when our guest today just shared a lot of good things with us about being proactive, you know, because sometimes we forget about the resources because our mental mindset puts us in that dark place. And we don't remember those things. We don't remember what the therapist said. We don't remember to do breathing or yoga, or it's nothing there that sparks our memory. And our guest is going to share some amazing things that he's coming out with tonight about how his applications can spark those memories to get help.
Yeah, Antonio Santana runs Frontline Strong, an incredible organization that, well, frankly, they're changing lives. And we're going to let Antonio, we're going to bring him on right now and introduce himself. And we're going to get to talking about some awesome things.
Awesome.
Welcome, Antonio, to the podcast.
Hi there. Thank you all for having me.
Thank you.
So, like I told you, I always like to start everything with what started everything for me. So for me, it was being vulnerable and allowing myself to feel a lot of the things that I have gone through in my life. So one of those things was writing. So actually what started all of this, what started Frontline, what started wellness and everything was being vulnerable. And through that came out writing. So I'm a Marine and I was in law enforcement as well. I was in law enforcement for 10 years. I served from corrections all the way to investigations, and I was in the Marine Corps. But writing has been something that I've found that's really, really helped me. So the poem that I'm about to read doesn't have a title into it, but it kind of talks about what you're talking about, John. So, all right.
All right.
In the depth of darkness, I am lost, a prisoner of pain. My heart is heavy, my soul in chains. The weight of depression remains. I try to break free to see the light, but the darkness is suffocating, a constant fight. The pain it brings is too much to bear. I am drowning in sorrow, gasping for air. The world around me is dark, and I am lost in this endless fight. The shadows consume me. They never relent. I am left with nothing, no silence, no content. But in the midst of darkness, a glimmer of hope, a flicker of light, a way is shown. For even in the depth of despair, a way out can be found. So I hold on to hope, to faith, to love, and I rise above the darkness to the heavens above. For pain and depression may come and go, but the light of hope will forever be shown.
Wow. Wow. So, powerful.
Yeah. Thank you. Wow.
So one of the things that when I say that writing was what really, really helped me. So about 9 years ago, actually that poem really paints a picture of where I was at. Right before I got out of law enforcement, I attempted suicide on the side of the road with my service pistol. And the thing about it is exactly how I describe. I felt like nobody understood what I was going through, or nobody wanted to hear. You know, and I didn't want to burden anybody with my pain or my, you know, my story, my sorrow. I didn't want to do that to anybody. And the thing about it is that while I grabbed my service pistol and I put it on my lap and I was about to commit suicide, my wife sent me a picture of my daughter. And one of the things about it is like when we're going through our darkness and we're going through everything, our pain, we kind of forget about everybody else. And we just kind of think about start focusing on ourselves and just like get through that day, right? But the thing about it is that we forget, if we remove ourselves, if we take ourselves out of the equation, it's not going to solve the problem. It's not going to solve the problem at all. All it's going to do is create a bigger problem. So when my wife sent me a picture of my daughter, I realized that here I am thinking that I am going to cut this pain out of me and that's it, right? But it's not. Now my family has to deal with that. My wife, my kids are going to have to deal with that. That's not fair. My daughter was 2 years old at that time, and my wife was pregnant with our second daughter. And what was I going to do to them? But just continue on the same pattern, the same pain was going to be passed on to my kids. So I think to me is going through everything that I've been through the last few months and the last years of going through recovery, I've realized that recovery is not the same for everybody. You know, everybody thinks that one day you're just going to get over this and it's going to be gone. And we just strive for that day, right? But the thing about it doesn't happen that way. It's a constant work every single day to get better. And you have to accept that. You have to accept that, because once you do, then you understand that, hey, I'm going to have some great times, but then I'm going to have some shitty times. I'm going to have some times that are just going to be terrible. And that's okay, because it's just part of the recovery. It is just part of it. And when I got out of law enforcement and then I went and I started trying to get the help, I went to the VA system. And granted, you know, for the military, we have a system that we are able to go get services, right? Law enforcement, first responders, we don't have that. You know, for police officers, there is nothing out there that's basically made for us to be able to go get services like, you know, medical or mental or anything like that.
Once you retire.
Yeah, that is not like a private, you know, like a nonprofit or anything like that. It's government ran, whatever.
Right.
So I started going in and I started trying to get help. And what I started seeing was that there were so many barriers. The first thing they did was try to get me in, on medication. That was the first thing. They're like, hey, we're not going to be able to put you in therapy for about 4 to 6 months. So let's just start shoving pills down your throat. And I was like, to me, I saw medication as a way of just numbing the problem. It's like, okay, all you're trying to do is just numb the problem and just continue to push me forward. And just like, hey, you know, we did something for you. We gave you medications.
Right.
But to me, it was not something that I wanted to do.
It's justification on their part. It's justification saying, look, we're helping. We're doing something. Yeah. They might as well just throw a bottle of booze in your hand.
Exactly. Well, there's a time and a place for medication. And we, you know, that your words and that poem are going through my head right now. We've got to take our first quick break. We will be right back with Antonio Santana, United States Marine Corps combat veteran and also retired law enforcement from Frontline Strong. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Move freely, America, without medical restrictions or penalty. Without medical freedom legislation in place, our rights and freedoms are one vote away from being dissolved. Move freely, America, with one voice, without fear of retribution, achieving a common goal, medical freedom. We the people make our voices heard by connecting with state legislators and engaging a constitutionally compliant medical bill of rights for all citizens. Individually, change is improbable, but as an aggregate, attainable. It's time to act with one voice. My voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
To protect our freedom, creating one voice that cannot be ignored. This requires your voice, too. Move Freely, America. Go to movefreelyamerica.org to find a chapter near you. Plug in, donate, and help our legislators defend our God-given rights under the Constitution. Move Freely, America. My voice.
And my voice.
And together with your voice, we're one voice that cannot be ignored. Donate today. Movefreelyamerica.org.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam with a very special guest, Antonio Santana. You know, I always think as soon as I hear Antonio Santana, I want to be like the musician. You know,
I get that so much.
You know, we started off the show it wasn't meant to be a dark part of the show, but it did bring a lot of things to light. You know, you said two things that really weighed with me, Antonio, was, you know, you found the power and the healing in writing, right? And you made a statement that not everybody battles the same way each and every day. And that is so true because mental health is individualized. When we look at that, we can't treat it all the same. Some people like couch therapy, yoga, exercising, mountain biking, hiking, wind therapy, whatever it is. You have to find what's right for you. And if writing your thoughts out on paper is an amazing way to heal because now you can see it. So thank you for sharing that amazing poem. And if you didn't hear that poem, to our listeners out there, please make sure you hear that in the beginning on our replay because it was very powerful. Thank you for sharing that, Antonio.
Oh, yeah. And I think what you're saying is perfect because, we all go through recovery. And especially when we accept that there's something wrong. I think for us, like we try to run away from it, you know. I think it was about like 7 months ago, I realized that there, as much good as I've been doing in the last few months, whatever like that, like there was always something there that I felt like was pulling me back. And I ended up realizing that even though I felt I was in this recovery mode, I guess you can say, or recovering stage, and I'm not listening to my own words, I guess you can say that, I wasn't realizing that what I was doing is I was thinking, yeah, I'm fully recovered. I'm great. I'm doing all this. I'm helping people, all of this, right? But at the same time, too, I wasn't looking at my blind spots. Where am I being affected here? So my wife told me, she's like, hey, I think you're drinking too much. And I'm like, man, what do you mean? Like, I'm doing so many things. Like, I can have a beer here and there, you know? And then I started kind of like thinking back and I'm like, okay, first of all, why am I getting upset that she's telling me this? Second of all is like, okay, I drank yesterday. Okay. I drank the day before. Okay. I drank the day before and I'm like, holy crap. I've been drinking every single day. And I couldn't remember when that stopped. Like when did that start? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I came back home and I talked to my wife and I told her, I was like, hey, you're right. You know, I think I've been drinking too much. I'm going to stop. So I've been sober next week I'll be 7 months sober.
Wow. Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. But what I realized was, you know, that feeling that I felt as if something was dragging me back. What I felt is, and I don't know how y'all feel about this, but I am a firm believer in God. And I believe that God gives everybody the gifts to be the person that they're supposed to be, right? Like that he has planned for you to be. And I felt like I was living up to that. But I always felt like I was getting pulled back. But the thing is that what I was realizing was I was like, hey, I'm okay changing up to this extent. But do not touch this part. Do not touch the alcohol. Don't touch this other part because I'm not ready to go past that. And what it was doing, it was weighing me down. And in that feeling of me pulling something back is I was pulling my old self. So I hadn't fully taken that step into the new person that I was and that I was supposed to be. So once that I, you know, everybody says it when they've gotten off of alcohol or any substance, they get this mental clarity. To me, it was like, holy crap, this is the person I'm supposed to be. This is the person I'm supposed to be, not that person who was just trying to find a way of numbing their feelings and all of that, because that's all I was doing. Alcohol, that is all it did for me was numb it. So recovery is different. Here I am preaching about therapy and all of these things, but I wasn't doing the whole thing to be able to get to be better, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
And that is what I'm trying to say is recovery is different for everybody. And even if you are at a good stage in your recovery, you're going to have valleys. You're going to have times where it's going to be difficult. But just understand that after a while, you're going to be back where you were at, or you're going to be better. But you have to be cognitive of that. And you have to understand that you have to be truthful with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That is the biggest thing.
Absolutely. You brought up like a million touch points in what you just said is being truthful, because you're the one that's looking at yourself in the mirror every day. Are you following that recipe and that plan that you set for yourself, or are you still kind of messing around over here and you're not living what he is speaking into you?
Yeah.
Because we know because you feel it, right? We've talked about this in a workshop. You know when you're being spoken to. I have a 15-year-old. You have kids too.
Yeah.
When you're supposed to be doing X and you're doing Y, you know.
Yeah.
And my son says, "Yeah, I know I could have done that." Well, why didn't you? I don't know. Well, I know I should have done this. It's like, okay, that's the voice. And it's same thing in accepting recovery and your journey, because this is a journey. It's not like this one thing happens, boom, you get help to solve this, and then there isn't going to be more. You've got to understand that when those bad days happen, you've got to take what you learn and put it into practice so that you can move forward. Otherwise, you're staying stagnant. And writing, a lot of people that we've spoken to, and John is a master at this, is like getting it all out on paper. Mm-hmm. I remember my therapist saying, even if every word on the page is fuck you over and over and over again, you got to get it out, right?
Yeah.
And it is that openness and the honest conversation with yourself.
It's a history. It's a history of your recovery, you know, and that's the thing. When I go back and I read some of my stuff from when I started going to therapy, it was dark. It was extremely dark. And I was at, I don't know if you know that USAA is launching a new initiative for suicide prevention. It's called Face the Fight. So I was part of their employee launch. So I read a poem there and everything like that. And I was talking to one of the employees, and he was like, "Hey, what do you write about?" And I told him, I was like, I write about things I love. And he had listened to my poem. He's like, "Man, you talk a lot about darkness and pain." Like, I tell him, it's like, man, you have to think about this. You have to change your mindset of what pain and your darkness is. You have, like, to tell you the truth, my pain and my darkness would have been here before my kids were born, before my wife was here. So I write about things that I love, my wife, my kids, and my pain. And the reason was, you change your mindset about what your pain is, and it's not something that happened to you, but it is just something that happened. And now you have to utilize that to be able to better yourself for life. You can't say, hey, this happened to me, poor me, and just get stuck there, because you will never move forward. You're never going to move forward, and you're never going to change your mindset. So to me is I write about the things that I love. I went through some heavy crap in my life, but I appreciate every single moment, because it made me the person that I am today. And it made me the person that understands how it is to be in pain. And that's why I built Frontline. And that's why we developed the app that we're developing, because I understand what pain looks like. I don't know what therapeutic words to use or anything like that, clinical terms, but I can look at somebody's eyes and see that they are in pain and they are hurting, because I had been there. So my pain and my darkness are a part of my story. They're a part of who I am, and you can't change that. So once you are able to say that, I can't change my past. I can't change what happened to me, but I can move forward and I can learn whatever I learn from it. There's always a learning lesson within any dark pain, any dark moment in your life. There's always something there that you can get to better your life.
Absolutely. And that's part of building that strength. Hey, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Antonio Santana. He is the founder of Frontline Strong. We got to take a quick break. We will be right back.
Interested in starting a podcast or TV show? Worried about what you'll say and how to keep it engaging? Think you'd like to be a guest on podcast, radio, or TV shows? Hi, I'm Susan Hamilton, owner and founder of OBBM Network, and I would like to invite you to an OBBM media training to get the tools you need for a relaxed and polished performance you'll be proud to share. Our specialized training techniques include role play, voice training, and everything you need to deliver a confident, clear, and engaging interaction. Go to offbeatbusiness.com. Go to the calendar and register for a training that's convenient for you. Dates available now, 214-714-0495.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam and a very special guest, Antonio Santana with Frontline Strong. You know, before the break, we were talking about our pain and battles and everything else that you went through, Antonio. And if you look at it, you know, God does play a role somehow, somewhere. You know, we have to look at it. Sam, when you look at your, and we've had a lot of people on this podcast. And if you hear their stories, if you hear their journey, they were all touched by some sort of sign that kept them from pulling the trigger. You know, Sam, you were sitting in your basement, your dog jumped in your lap, snapped you out. Here, Antonio, you're sitting in your car, a picture pops up on your phone. Somebody's just, you know, your wife turns around and sends you that picture at that moment in time. You know, I passed out from exhaustion just before my ordeal. So when you look at these little signs, you have to know that there is something. You know, this is not just three people. This is almost everybody we speak to, that just before they were about to take their, you know, end their life, something in that moment, something shook them out of it. Something turned around and said, hey, it's not your time, right? And then when we talk about our journeys, when we talk about our battles, when we talk about our pain, we can't look at that. We can't look at the past as darkness. We have to look at the past as a celebrating factor that brought us here today. You know, we got to celebrate that pain. You know, if it wasn't for my battles or Sam's battles, me and her would have never connected, right? Yeah. Our paths wouldn't have crossed. So this mission that we're on, or the journey that we're all on together to bring mental health awareness and bring a healthier lifestyle to others, we've all been put on this for a reason. We don't know what it is right now. Maybe 5-10 years down the road we will, but right now we're all traveling that same path on that same common goal for one reason. And someone had to put us here. Yeah. Someone had to put us here.
And I think one of the things that we have to, and that's one of the things that our darkness does, right? It actually tries to make us separate ourselves from everybody, right? We have to remember that our lives are interconnected with everybody. Exactly what you're saying. You know, me meeting you, me meeting Sam, there's a purpose for that, right? There's a purpose for us meeting. But when our darkness, that's why our darkness and our pain are freaking liars, because they say like, hey, you're the only one going through this. You're the only one that is suffering this way. Poor you. No, there's other individuals out there that had suffered as well. And the thing about it, I tell this to everybody, because a lot of the times some of the individuals that I talk to are like, man, my pain is not as bad as yours. Like, you know, I'm sorry you've went through all this. And I'm like, doesn't matter. You know, to me, look, if you were in a car crash, if you lost a loved one to COVID, or you lost a loved one to whatever you want to put it at, and you were blown up, you were shot at, all of these things, the situations may be different, but the emotional attachment, those emotions, me and you can connect. I don't know what darkness y'all have been through, but I'm telling you, if I feel a specific feeling and I start telling you about that, you will understand that, because our emotions are where we connect at. But right. What we tell ourselves is that I can't talk to that individual over there about that, because, you know, they can't understand being shot at, or they can't understand being blown up, but they understand being depressed. They understand feeling alone. They understand feeling like they're the only ones going through this. So we can connect on that stage. When we allow ourselves for other stories to help us, stories can help. If I don't know if you know, like, if that makes any sense, but to me, the more and more I talk to individuals, my wife will tell you, I talk to so many people, and she's like, why do you do that? I was like, because you can grab a little nugget out of everybody's story to help you, to give you something. But if you close yourself off and say, hey, I'm the only one that knows about this pain, I'm the only one that knows about this, or whatever, you leave yourself in this space where nobody else can help you, because you think you know it all, you know, or you think your pain trumps everybody else's pain, which is bull. It's bull, because everybody else has gone through something themselves, and we can connect on that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's out of pain and guys that felt alone, that they couldn't reach out, that your organization was born with, you know, the San Antonio police officers. John and I were at IACP in Dallas when the story broke that, you know, we're like, wait a second, 5 San Antonio police officers took their life. And everybody at the conference was like, what happened to 1, 2, 3, and 4 coming out? What is going on? And you dove in. I mean, and you're like, no, I can't watch any more of my brothers and sisters go through this. So let's talk about, you know, the birth of Frontline Strong. You got the podcast and then the app.
So
I probably have to take a break somewhere.
There's a lot in there. There's a lot in there. So Frontline Strong was, like I said, through my writing, we kind of, it was crazy. It's like God puts people in our lives for a reason, right? So I met my partner, Jerry Berlanga, at the gym, kind of told him, you know, what I was doing, you know, showed him a little bit of my writing. He's like, man, I want to help you. So I didn't know exactly what that meant. So I had, it's like, hey, I wanted to start a podcast initially. And I didn't know what to do to start a podcast, researched. And I kind of told him, like, hey, man, I thank you for having that meeting with me. And he's like, no, for real, like, you get all the equipment and I'll pay for it. And I was like, seriously? And I was like, he's like, yeah, I'll pay for it. So that's how we started doing the podcast. And during that podcast, SAPD, I think they had their first suicide. And I remember telling my guys, I was like, man, I feel like more needs to be done. You know, like, yeah, we're talking about emotions, and we're talking about darkness, and we're talking all this, but like, there's no follow through. You know, to me, it's like there has to be something more that we can do here instead of just talking about it. So I had an idea of just like, hey, what if we start providing services? And they didn't know, have no idea of how that would be started. But I think for us, like, God has just put the right people in my life. And when we started Frontline Strong to do therapy services, I didn't know how it was going to get accepted. I didn't know people were going to respond, how they were going to respond to it. But then all of a sudden we just started getting a flood of people. And the thing is that the more and more that I started talking to these guys, the more and more I realized that a lot of them have been wanting to get help, but they just felt that they couldn't because they were scared of losing their job, scared of losing a specialized position they were in. And they just wanted anything out of SAPD, or they wanted anything out of the department. they just wanted something out. They just wanted something different. They wanted to feel like they've been heard, like that, and that once they come in to services, they're not going to lose their job.
Right.
So that's what we started doing with that.
That's great. You know, when we come back from our next break, we're going to talk about the app that you are working on that is going to change lives. Stay tuned, everybody. We will be right back with Antonio Santana from Frontline Strong.
Hi, welcome to Heroes in Action. I'm Ray Amanat, founder and creator of this training system. I originally made it so that everyone can train for free. We have programs for kids, for women, families, and businesses. I'm an author, speaker, and educator on everything that has to do with violence and bullying prevention education. If you'd like more information about who we are and what our programs are, please go to our website at heroesinaction.us or give me a call if you have any questions at 727-314-2534. We hope to see you here to train.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam, powered by the OBBM Network. We have our wonderful guest, Antonio Santana with Frontline Strong. You know, when we left, we were talking about your story, your poem, things that you do for your own self, for your own mental health that help you heal. And we're talking about individuality, how stress and mental health affects each of us differently. And you did bring up a good point about the trauma. You know, I was talking to, I forgot, somebody from one of the foundations who was having a little campfire, and he had a couple of veterans around. And one of the veterans who was on deployment but never went out on a mission, right, but still was suffering and battling. And there was another guy there who's been in multiple missions, multiple gunfights, multiple, roadside bombings. And he goes, man, I can't even speak about my trauma because look at that. Trauma has no value. Trauma is trauma. If I see somebody get their hand slammed in a door, it can affect me just as much as it affected you getting shot at. And that's what we have to look at. We have to look at that trauma has got, there's no basis for trauma. It's just one line. It's how it affects everybody. So thank you for bringing that up, Antonio. So, I do appreciate that.
So I wanted to go back with about Frontline Strong. So, you know, when we started and we started talking to some of the spouses that had lost their loved ones, you know, I think that is what like put a lot of more fire under me, is because that could have been my wife. Right. So like we just don't provide services for first responders and veterans and active duty members. We also provide it for the spouses and the children. I think to me, it's like what really drove a fire within me was that knowing that that could have been my wife and that could have been my kids, you know? And I think one of the things that always drives me in this, and I'm more prone to always helping individuals more when there's a suicide involved. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but I think to me, it's like, I always put myself in that situation. And like every time I think back about my suicide attempt, I always think about it like kind of like a car accident that didn't happen. You know, when you were about to hit that wall or that car was about to hit you and all of a sudden it just did it. And you were just like sitting there. You're just like, man, I'm glad that didn't happen. So like now about 7 months ago, I talked to my therapist, because I still go to therapy, and I talked to my therapist and I was like, you know what? I'm in a stage of my life right now. And this is extremely difficult for a lot of us who have suffered. I love myself. Like I have never, ever been truly able to say that. And I think when healing starts is when you are able to accept yourself for who you are and when you love yourself, right? And I think a lot of it, like when I think back at these guys that committed suicide, and I'm just like, man, I wish they knew that they are worth one more day. Their life is worth one more day. You know, just another hour, another 15 minutes, they're worth that, because they don't know how much pain they're going to leave at the end. So for us, like when we started providing, you know, mental health services for the families, and I started talking to some of those spouses, and it just broke me. it broke me talking to them and hearing how now they have to play mom, now they have to play dad, now like all of the things that they didn't have to worry about, now they it's all on them, and now and they have to stay strong for their kids. I have one of my really good friends of mine. She became a really good friend of mine afterwards, and she tells me, she's like, I cry in the car sometimes because I just don't want my kids to see that. I want them to know that I'm strong for them. But at the same time, it's like, God, how long can you do that for? You know, and that's what we leave behind when we do this. That is exactly what we, and we don't think about this. We just, and that's, I told my wife this, and I was being selfish. I was being selfish because I was thinking, I want to remove this pain away from me. But I didn't think what that pain was going to do to her. Or what that pain was going to do to my kids. And I was selfish. And that's hard. One of the things that my friend, she told me, she's like, it's very hard for me to forgive him for doing that. Because as much as I love him, as much as I care for him, and as much as I want him back, like, it's hard for me to say that I forgive him for what he did.
You know, Antonio, I just got to back up real quick because...
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You know, when you say that's selfish, that you were selfish, one thing that I definitely don't agree with, okay, it wasn't being selfish, because when you go into a dark place,
yeah,
you know, you don't know what selfish is. You don't know what guilt is. You don't know. Relieve the pain.
Yeah.
Stop the battle. So I don't think it's a selfish feeling, because it's something that is out of your control at that point in time. When you fall into that rabbit hole and you're falling, you're just grasping for anything. Your emotion of being selfish, it's survival mode.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I don't like that selfish word because I don't think you should put that label on yourself.
And I put that on myself because at the end of it, when I sit and I talk to my kids and I sit and I talk to my wife and I see the pain and hurt that that these other individuals are facing, like I would have done that to them. And it to me, my experience, that to me is selfish to me, because to me is I would have let them in so much pain. And they were going to have to be suffering afterwards because of me.
But you, and this ain't a therapy session, but
no,
you have to forgive yourself.
Or is it? Or is it?
No,
you're still labeling yourself as selfish. You have to really forgive yourself, and you can't hold that weight.
No, and I understand.
Let that one go, brother.
Yeah, and I get you, brother. I really do. It's hard. It really is. You know, it's something that's extremely difficult for me because my kids and my wife are everything to me. Everything to me. And that day, and I guess the way that I look at it, that day, I made it seem as if they weren't. Does that make sense? And I think it's extremely difficult for me to acknowledge that, you know, here I am. I would die for my family. I would. And here I am about to take my life and remove myself away from them. So it's extremely difficult for me to accept that.
Put it in a different perspective for a second before we get to your rap. All right. Your wife and your kids are walking down the street, right?
Yes, man.
Sorry. Right. And you come to a crossroad, right? And there's a deli on the far corner and you're going to go to that deli, right?
Yes.
You're going to choose which side of the street to cross. Right? You choose this side and you got hit by a car. Are you going to feel guilty about that?
No. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Yes, you know, I get what you're saying.
It was out of your control. It was out of your control at that moment. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to help you relieve that part of your pain, you know?
So no, Dr. John.
Let's move on.
So Dr. John, you know, he does bring up a good point in it, and it's what we live with, because I understand completely where you're going and what you're talking about. That's the hardest thing to finally put aside, right? And that's part of the journey as well. And yeah. So for you, you've got this reminder, and you know, this is a perfect segue. I'm looking at the time. Yeah. We've got a last quick break, because this is a perfect segue into your app and the ability to assess. When Antonio goes back into that thought process, how can the app help? We'll be right back with that answer. All right.
To the Health Engineer Show, I'm Cliff Buechler, the Health Engineer, right here on the Upbeat.
Hi, I'm Larry Cortez.
Hi, my name is Susan Hamilton, and you're watching Upbeat. Hi, this is Doreen Milano. Welcome to Big IG Small Business, where we will talk to Terry Arjala.
Hey, welcome back to John and Sam's therapy session with Antonio Santana. these are the conversations that need to be made. And anybody that's listening, this is what it's all about. It's being open, transparent, honest. And like Antonio said, you have to be able to identify the things within yourself and bring them out and share them openly. But this app that you developed is probably going to be groundbreaking. For a lot of people out there. So
and I just want to go back to one little thing before I tell you about the app. So I think because of my suicide, and because of that, I guess that pain that I still have, like that feeling of why did I almost do that and be away from my family, all of that guilt, it's made me work harder to prevent that from happening for somebody else. So to me, as much as, yes, like, you know, I feel guilty for, and you're right, John, like, I think I still feel guilty about it. And I probably do have to let go of that guilt. But what it has done, it's really made me work harder to prevent that from happening to somebody else.
Transition that from guilt to a stepping stool tool or a tool to make you stronger.
Like guilt's a purpose, baby. Hey, yeah. There's a podcast.
No, there is. There's a purpose for everything, right?
Yep.
So what we started seeing is we started getting a lot of individuals that wanted therapy that were from other different states. And I couldn't provide them that services because they were out of state. So we started trying to figure out how to work that. At the end of it, like everything out there right now, when you look at suicide prevention, it's a reactive approach. And people say like, hey, like, which is still, it's, they're still doing something, right? But it's just a repackaging of the same idea. So to me, I was like, hey, what if there was something that was more of a proactive approach? Instead of you calling the system and you calling 988 or any of those hotline phone numbers, whatever like that, the 988 calls you. So what we did is we developed an app called Wellness Empowered. So it's We for short. And you can go in on weempowered.com and you can look at the app and see it's going to come out mid-July. So what we wanted to do is to ensure that individuals don't take that last step. So for me, it was that picture that stopped me from doing that, right? It was my wife sending the picture of my daughter. So for us, it was like, I want somebody to reach out to an individual and say, hey, are you in crisis? Do you need some help? Or if they don't respond, you have somebody calling them. So ours is a proactive approach to suicide. Our wearable devices that we have right here have so much data. So our system will be able to link up to the app and be able to track your sleep, your heart rate, and also you're going to have mood shifts. You're going to have journal entries, or you can write your journal entries. You're going to have all of these things that are basically out there for everybody right now, but they're all going to be in one app, and it's all going to be trying to identify specific leading metrics to be able to ensure that these individuals don't take that last step, if that makes sense.
You know.
Okay, so what is the website one more time?
Weempowered.com.
You know, Antonio.
W-E, so weempowered.com.
No, it's just one E.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Antonio, you know, with all this technology that's coming out and, you know, with AI and everything else, you know, I'm looking at, you know, we have a little thing that can go on to somebody's arm, right?
Yeah.
A diabetic can tell you their blood sugar, could tell you, you know, when their levels are dropping. You know, if that could read, like, say we had something like that to put on somebody, and this is where I see you going with this, where your application is going to be able to kind of read your heart rate, maybe read your cortisol levels, your chemical imbalances, and say, hey, you're getting to that point. And then maybe shoot a picture of your wife and kids, or shoot a picture of, you know, some happy thoughts to break you out of. Because a lot of people, and well, like you said, they don't want to do that. They don't want to commit. They don't want to take their own life, but they fall so dark. They just need maybe one thing to snap them out of it. And this may be groundbreaking stuff to being proactive.
So for us, we're going to have peer support members as well on there, which we're going to utilize as dispatchers. And then we're going to have actual therapists as well. So you'll be able to do therapy on the app as well. And then you'll be able to talk to peer support members. But one of the biggest things about what we're doing is it's called, I don't know if you know about natural language. So natural language is basically what we write. So in your journal entries, when we write everything, whatever like that, there's specific things that we put in there that the system is going to learn about you, right? So there's terms that we'll be able to flag. So if an individual is writing something, whatever like that, the system will be able to track it and be like, hey, this guy might be in a crisis situation. Let's reach out to him. So
it's starting to sound like the government.
but the thing is that it's preventing something from occurring, or even just reaching out to the guy and be like, hey, is there something wrong? Do you need to talk to somebody? Should we move up your therapy session? You know, whatever you need to be able to ensure that you feel better. So yeah. One of the things that I've realized that a lot of the times that people that have gone in through suicide have gone through anything is that they just want, they want to be heard. They want to be heard. And I think with this, you'll be able to give them that space where they can be heard. And now because it's on your app and, you know, you don't have to worry about your command or anything like that, it's private. You'll be able to ensure that you feel safe, that you're not going to get backlash or anything like that from your command or anything like that to come onto our app and be able to get the help.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. You know, technology, John, like I always say, you know, being a former Fed, let's just clarify, if you're just tuning in, if this is your first podcast, Sam was not an FBI agent. Okay. Secret Service, not that camp, the good guys here. That with technology like this, okay, so we have the AI that picks up language and stuff. There's always what I say, a good camp, and then there's always somebody looking to exploit, right?
Yeah.
So when we have our hearts and our minds utilizing our experiences, where we came from, to make a difference in other people's lives, that's when the good stuff out of this happens. And you kind of have to have a come to Jesus meeting with yourself, or an agreement with yourself, that because it is this kind of technology, if it saves lives, freaking let's use it.
And I think for us as well is, so we wanted to provide, like we say, it's a proactive approach. So also too, it's a data-driven therapy. So all of this information, so like how you sleep, how your heart rate, all of these things, your therapist will have access to it. So when you come into therapy, they will be able to review how your week was. A lot of the times we go into therapy and it's already been 2 weeks or a week and a half, and we don't remember what happened within those 2 or 3 weeks, whatever, since we were in therapy. Here, the therapist will be able to go back to your system, be able to like, hey, man, on last Friday, you had your heart rate was elevated. You didn't sleep well. What happened that day? Let's talk about it. So now you have a specific point in time that you can focus on. And what helps with that is to identify triggers. So one of the hardest thing for me was identifying my triggers. And I think with this, it gives more information to the therapist to be able to provide their patients with better care.
Absolutely. Wow. Hands down. This sounds phenomenal. And you can find out more at frontlinestrong.org and the app specifically of weempowered.com. And that's one E. It's weempowered.com. Antonio, this hour just flew by.
I'm sorry. I talk a lot.
No. This is awesome. Also, you guys download on your phones after this podcast, download the app Frontline Strong. You can hear incredible episodes and you can hear more of Antonio's brilliant poems on YouTube. You can check them out on YouTube. And also, what are the books that you published?
So I got Light Within Darkness and My Journey Through Words, and they're on Amazon.
There we go.
And the app will be released. It'll be done in July. And then after that, we're going to do a couple of pilots. So we're hoping that by November timeframe, we'll be out to everybody. But we are super excited about it.
That is phenomenal. So, guys, I've had the website up here for those of you who are listening through your favorite podcast app, frontlinestrong.org or weempowered.com. And that's one E. So weempowered.com. Go check them out. Antonio, thank you so much again for your time. We'll definitely be in touch. And I feel like we connected through our hearts tonight, and I know this podcast episode is going to have a huge impact because you made your words and you put it out there in a way that some of us have a hard time expressing, but I definitely felt that. Well, so I thank you so much.
And one of the things is that you have to be vulnerable with yourself. That is the only way that you're going to be honest. Being vulnerable creates honesty because you're being honest with yourself. And I don't want to hold back anymore. Like I lived my life like that. And once you've broken through those chains and you've removed that, being honest, being vulnerable, that's the only way to go, because that's when you're gonna really start seeing the true person that you are. And John, too, thank you so much for the therapy session.
You'll get my bill.
Amen. Thank you so much. Again, Antonio, thank you. We will be in touch. Have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, brother.
Okay. Oh, this is awesome. We'll have to have him back again for sure to share more of his.
Once they release
poetry. This was hugely impactful for me, and all of our guests bring something incredible each week. And I don't know, for the first time, I got to spend almost an hour on the phone with Antonio. It's just he speaks our language, and like I said, it just in a way where it's like And it is about being truthful with yourself. It is about being real. And that's what propels us to be the best version of ourselves every day so that other people don't have to go through what we went through. And that's why we fight every day to do this. Being open, being vulnerable, being honest means putting yourself out there. And every month, the third Sunday, we get together in Rockwall and in Fort Worth. We've also got Waco. Go to walkthebridge.org. Find out where Walk the Bridge is taking place in your area, and you can start one. It's a chance to come together, to talk about the tough stuff, to talk about the stuff that's pissing you off, that's got you sad, happy, whatever it is. But let's come together and do that. And the best way you can find out what John and I are doing, where we are on any given day, the workshops for first responders, is just visit us at abadgeofhonor.com. If this podcast episode impacted you, there's a little blue donate button. It's a great way to show your support, whether you want to do a one-time or monthly. We greatly appreciate it. And the money goes to provide scholarships, because not every department has the funds to reach deep in their pockets to get everybody in their department to help. And we, of course, help out through the scholarships that we do. So go ahead and do that, because we're going to get geared up for this fall, which is right around the corner. I know Happy Birthday America is tomorrow. And you're like, oh, it's just July. Football season. We're in Texas, people, right around the corner. All right. And that means it's fall. So to all the first responders out there, thank you so much for what you do, putting your lives on the line every single day to protect us here on the home front. For our active duty personnel across the globe, thank you for staying in the fight. For our veterans out there, dang, thank you for doing what you did, for putting your lives on the line. And you keep showing up so that this show that John and I are able to do each week can happen. And other shows like it. We so appreciate your service. God bless you. And John, take us home.
Well, just one, for what Antonio was saying, just stay transparent, stay vulnerable, share, don't hold those things in, try to get it out as much as you can. And happy birthday, America. Sam, stay blessed as well. And everybody have a safe 4th of July.
We will see you next week, everybody. Take care.
A Badge of Honor podcast is produced for the OBBN Network podcast and protected under copyright law. For content permissions, please submit your request to abadgeofhonor.com on the content page. For OBBN Network programming information, please call 214-714-0495 today.